Before you regret. This program is based on the book Before You Regret by Harun Yahya. Occasionally, a person faces various physical and spiritual sorrows and troubles in the world. Among these are feelings so intense that they cannot be compared with any other physical pain. This feeling that causes such great distress in the human soul is a feeling called regret. There are two completely different forms of regret, however: the regret felt by people of faith and the regret that non-believers experience. Believers are the people who have an absolute faith in the fact that events take place by Allah's will, and whatever befalls them does so by Allah's will. This explains their all-important distinctive attribute of putting their unyielding trust in Allah at good times, in trouble, or when they make a mistake. Upon making a mistake, a believer immediately repents with sincerity and hopes for Allah's forgiveness. As a result, he does not suffer from a distressful and long-lived feeling of regret. The regret felt by believers urges them to ask for repentance, to purify themselves, and prevents them from repeating this error. It does not reduce their enthusiasm, devotion, or religious zeal, nor does it drag them downward into a spiral of apprehension and depression. Regret felt by disbelievers, on the other hand, is very distressing and constant, as they do not put their trust in Allah when they encounter a difficulty or commit a transgression. Throughout their lives, they often use phrases like, "I wish I had not done this," "I wish I had never said this," and so on. More importantly, they are subject to a much greater regret in the hereafter. Those who lived a life apart from the religion in this world will regret every moment of their lives. They were warned before and invited to the straight path. They had enough time to contemplate and embrace the right way. Yet they did not listen when they were warned, ignoring the hereafter as if they would never die. Then in the hereafter, they will have no chance to get back to this world and correct their errors. In the Quran, their regretful expressions are related as follows. If only you could see when they are standing before the fire and saying, "Oh, if only we could be sent back again, we would not deny the signs of our Lord, and we would be among the believers." Surah 6, verse 27. When one is in mortal danger, his conscience starts to swiftly account for his life and appraises his life and actions. If this person did not live by the religion of Allah and did not engage in good deeds in this world, then he will be overwhelmed by grief and great regret. Many things that were neglected throughout his life appear suddenly and with clarity before his eyes. Maybe for the first time in his life, he realizes how close death is. He acknowledges that he did not lead a worldly life that entitles him to paradise. He becomes aware that he has been ungrateful to Allah, and he feels that this will not be left unanswered. A dreadful fear which he never experienced before surrounds him. He understands that only Allah can save him from the situation he is in. Then he promises Allah to remain thankful and right, and always to remember this situation. He implores Allah earnestly to be saved from the danger he is in. He asks just to be saved and to be given just one chance to stay alive. However, after surviving such a mortal danger, most people do not remain true to their words and promises that they previously gave to Allah. As soon as Allah saves such a person, he returns to his former ways. He forgets what he thought and realized at the moment he faced death. With the confidence of having overcome the danger, he turns away from Allah as if he was not the one who experienced regret and earnestly implored to Allah before. He resumes his life with even more attachment to the world. In the Quran, Allah describes the psychological state of such people as follows. When harm occurs to you at sea, those you call on vanish, except for him alone. But when he delivers you to dry land, you turn away. Man truly is ungrateful. Do you feel secure against him, causing the shore to swallow you up or sending against you a sudden squall of stones? Then you will find no one to be your guardian. Surah 17, verse 67 to 68. As emphasized in the verse, how can one be sure that he will not face a similar or a totally different danger again? Alternatively, how does one feel assured that he will be saved for another time? No doubt one would never guarantee that these things would not happen. Also keep in mind that getting out of danger will not make any difference in one's life. Ultimately, one will die one day, exactly when one exhausts the time determined for him. Then he will feel regret, but this will not be of any benefit to him. The people depicted in these verses turn to Allah when they are faced with difficulty. Yet no sooner do they come out of this difficulty than they forget the promises they made to Allah and show ungratefulness. This attitude explains that the regret they felt actually arose from the helplessness one feels in a state of difficulty. True regret, however, is not forgotten at once. It prompts one and even produces fundamental changes in one's character. One who feels sincere regret in his heart lives the rest of his life bestowed to him in compliance with Allah's consent, hoping for Allah's mercy and forgiveness. When circumstances change or a new chance is granted, he never dares to return to his former way of life. He is aware that such ungratefulness means a loss for him. To make a right decision, being physically in danger is not necessarily essential. It is all possible that someone failing to consider such a possibility might experience it very soon, or he may never face such danger for a lifetime. In both cases, however, one thing is certain. When the moment of death destined for a person meets him, he will suddenly find the angels of death next to him. At this very moment, when he fully acknowledges the fact of death, if he failed to lead his life in the way of Allah, he will definitely have things to regret. To avoid regret in this world and the hereafter, the only thing to do is to turn towards Allah. Be mindful of one's duties to Allah and fulfill the commands of Allah as stated in the Quran. Death is too close, so man should never delay doing the things that he is held responsible for. He should put his sincere decisions into action with patience and determination. The sincerity and closeness to Allah should be the sincerity one feels in times of danger and helplessness, if not more. There is a very important fact to be remembered. The main purpose of man's existence in this world is to serve Allah and be a servant who earns his good pleasure. Everything except this, namely one's success, possessions, family, and career, are only the means whereby one may get closer to Allah. the efforts of those who endeavor solely to attain those means, forgetting and ignoring that these favors are granted to them by Allah so that they turn to Him and render their thanks to Him, will be in vain. In one verse, Allah emphasizes that these are the sorts of people who will be most overwhelmed with grief. Say, shall I inform you of the greatest losers in their actions? People whose efforts in the life of the world are misguided while they suppose that they are doing good? Those are the people who reject their Lord's signs and the meeting with Him. Their actions will come to nothing, and on the day of rising, we will not assign them any weight. Surah 18, verse 103 to 105. Provided that one attains the good pleasure of Allah in this world by way of his attitude and morals, Allah will certainly protect him both in this world and beyond. However, if he loses this opportunity in this world, he will regret this terrible error at the moment the angels of death appear to him. This error, unlikely to be compensated for, will be a cause for eternal regret. In the Quran, the regret that people feel in the presence of their Lord is expressed as follows. He said, "Oh, if only I had not associated anyone with my Lord." Surah 18, verse 42. "Alas for me, if only I had gone the way of the messenger." Surah 25, verse 27. A person who would not like to desperately utter these words should, right at this moment, submit to his Lord and live by the principles laid by his Creator. The life of this world is an important opportunity granted so that man can earn the perfect and eternal life of the hereafter. Those who do not make use of this opportunity and live a life far removed from the religion of Islam will regret every moment they spent in the world when they see the torment in the hereafter. This is due to the fact that these people had been warned several times and had been informed about the existence of hell and paradise. They had also been informed that their conduct would dictate which abode they would earn. In addition, Allah mercifully makes man experience the feeling of regret in this world before reaching his irreversible end. Allah gives people a certain amount of time before their death so that they can purify themselves from their mistakes and flawed attitudes. During one's lifetime, every human being is offered the chance to repent and lead the rest of his life in the way of Allah. Viewed from this point, the feeling of regret is actually a great opportunity that Allah grants to man. This is because, after such deep regret, if one turns to Allah, Allah grants him eternal salvation in response to his sincerity. Conversely, if one heedlessly ignores these warnings and opportunities, then his punishment will be eternal regret and grief. In the Quran, Allah illustrates various examples of people who regretted their mistakes. These feelings of regret urged a group of people to turn to Allah and save them from repeating their mistake for the rest of their lives. Yet another group totally forgot about this regret in time and out of recurring ignorance returned to their former rebellious selves. The regret experienced by the three people who did not take part in a battle during the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is an apt example of repenting stemming from regret. We learn this from the Quran. Allah has turned towards the Prophet and those who fled their homes and the helpers who followed him at the time of difficulty after the hearts of a group of them had almost deviated. Then he turned towards them. He is all gentle, most merciful to them, and also towards the three who were left behind, so that when the earth became narrow for them, for all its great breadth, and their own selves became constricted for them, and they realized that there was no refuge from Allah except in Him. He relented towards them so that they might repent. Allah is the ever-returning, the most merciful. Surah 9, verse 117 to 118. As we learn from these verses, the three people who were left behind suffered a great regret in their hearts. Consequently, they realized that the only way to be saved from this regret was to repent and seek refuge in Allah. This is the sincere regret that mobilizes people, changes them, and urges them to correct their mistakes. Such sincere people will lead a life in compliance with Allah's consent and hope for Allah's compassion and mercy. Allah surely accepts repentance from His servants and forgives them. This truth is stated in the Quran as follows: "But as for those who do evil actions and then subsequently repent and have faith, in that case your Lord is ever forgiving, most merciful." Surah 7, verse 153. Regret is once again emphasized in the Quran in the story of the owners of the garden. Allah granted them a garden as a favor. However, they grew arrogant, appropriated the garden for themselves, and forgot to be grateful to Allah. Hence, the punishment they received caused them to regret their actions and turn towards Allah. It is related in the Quran how the owners of the garden expressed their regret when they saw what befell them. But when they saw it, they said, "We must have lost our way. No, the truth is we are destitute." The best of them said, "Did I not say to you, why do you not glorify Allah?" They said, "Glory be to our Lord. Truly we have been wrongdoers." They turned to face each other in mutual accusation. They said, "Woe to us! We were indeed inordinate. Maybe our Lord will give us something better than it in exchange. We entreat our Lord." Surah 68, verse 26 through 32. But when conditions change, or they are given a new chance, most people forget the warning. Those who ignore the warnings and return to their former attitudes will surely be punished unless they repent in time. One has to remember that Allah is just. He does not leave any fault unanswered, yet He also generously rewards the good deeds done for Him. He gives glad tidings of His mercy and paradise to those who turn towards Him with sincere repentance. Considering these, one should ask the following of himself. Being aware of the intense trouble of temporary regret gives in this world, it is worth taking the risk of an everlasting regret? Not to forget that this will be the regret one would suffer in the never-ending afterlife in hell. Surely, nobody would risk feeling such regret in the hereafter. In this case, what one has to do is apparent. Every single person in this world still has the time to seize this opportunity. The one who capitalizes on this favor of Allah will not only be saved from the fire, but will also be the heir of the blessings of this world and the eternal hereafter. Therefore, every person who endeavors to attain these blessings and avoid the regret of the companions of the fire needs to devote himself to earning the pleasure of Allah. One needs to unconditionally follow the route bringing man out of darkness into light. Death is considered to be an end and the final destruction by those who do not believe in the hereafter. This is a flawed perception, however, because death is not an end but a beginning. For believers, it is the beginning of a perfect, eternal paradise that is free from all evil and flaws. For disbelievers, on the other hand, it is a transition to a life in hell, where a great penalty lasts forever. Those who comprehend this reality live a pleasant end in the world when death meets them and a pleasant beginning in the hereafter. These two occur simultaneously. Disbelievers, on the other hand, encounter the irrecoverable regret of disregarding this reality of which they had been previously informed. They suffer this regret every moment for all eternity and never find respite from it. Although death is not a subject of profound thought for most people, it is an unavoidable end. That is because Allah creates death as the definite end of this life. So far, not a single person has avoided death. No one's property, wealth, career, or close friends have provided salvation from death. So, does avoiding contemplation over death and the life after death save one from facing this reality? Surely the answer to this question is no. Since man is desperate against death, the most rational thing to do is to constantly contemplate upon death and to get prepared for the hereafter. Those who neglect thinking about the hereafter whilst being distracted by this fleeting worldly life are taken by surprise by death. Those saying, "While we are young, we can make the most of our lives and think about death in the later years of our lives," definitely do not grasp that they might never have such an opportunity. That is because death is predestined by Allah. A person may well die before he grows old. In this case, solely making future plans and postponing the fulfillment of Allah's commands will only lead to dreadful regret. Those who spend their lives distant from Allah and who only repent when they realize they are close to death will experience such regret. Yet repentance which arises from the fear of death and which doesn't bear sincere intention to correct and purify oneself is not acceptable by Allah. Openly being in favor of this life despite the existence of death, such people desperately strive to save themselves only when they realize death is very near. This, however, brings no benefit. Allah knows their insincerity. As Allah informs us in the Quran, He knows what is inside of man, including his most inner thoughts and deepest secrets. We are informed in the Quran that Allah will not accept repentance based on the fear of death at the very last moment. There is no repentance for people who persist in doing evil until death comes to them and who then say, "Now I repent," nor for people who die as a disbeliever. We have prepared for them a painful punishment. Surah 4, verse 18. For this reason, it would be erroneous to have a rationale based on the thought, "I will repent when the appropriate time comes." This kind of thinking will not save one from the torment of hell. So if one does not want to suffer an eternal grievous penalty after death, he should live for a purpose, knowing that he will absolutely meet Allah and have to give an account of his actions. Throughout their lives, people are reminded many times of the existence of the garden and the fire and that they have to get prepared for the afterlife. Yet disbelievers turn a deaf ear to these reminders. Upon facing death, the main source of their regret is the fact that they have led themselves to their own destruction. Nobody forced them. They, by their own will, chose this dreadful end for themselves. By the moment of death, disbelievers start to suffer from grief. The dreadful fear felt at the time of death is the initial grief of this torment, which is illustrated in the Quran as follows. While one leg is entwined with the other, That day he will be driven to your Lord. He neither affirmed the truth, nor did he pray, but rather denied the truth and turned away, and then went off to his family, swaggering. It is coming closer to you and closer, then closer to you and closer still. Surah 75, verse 29 through 35. Yet one needs to keep in mind that only disbelievers suffer from this fear. Believers are hopeful, as they have lived all their lives for Allah. On the other hand, the angels of death will take the souls of disbelievers while smiting their faces and their backs. By that moment, disbelievers will suffer physical pain accompanied by a deep regret, since they will know that they have no opportunity to return back. At the moment of death, man experiences what befalls him with a very open conscience. This is the beginning of his eternal life. Death is only a transitional phase. It is actually the departure of the soul from the flesh. Due to the torment they suffer at the time of death, disbelievers grasp that they will be subjected to a great penalty that will last for all eternity. Those who lived all their lives distant from the religion of Allah start to earnestly implore Allah's forgiveness and safety. They plead to be sent back to the world, to do good deeds, and to make up for what they have lost. But their wishes aren't acceptable, because they were given a life long enough so that they would receive admonition, as the verse suggests. They were given glad tidings of the gardens of paradise, and also warned against the fire of hell, but they willfully turned away from these truths. However, that they will again tend to denial upon another chance is stated in the Quran as follows. When death comes to one of them, he says, "My Lord, send me back again so that perhaps I may act rightly regarding the things I fail to do." No, indeed, it is just words he utters. Surah 23, verse 99 through 101. Disbelievers knowingly did not prostrate before Allah, nor fulfill His orders, nor conform to the sublime morality. Now, at the time of death, they won't be able to do it, no matter how much they want to. There is another point that adds to the regret of people who, at the moment of death, comprehend that Allah's promises are all true. Believers, to whom disbelievers did not trust and take seriously in the world, and even of whom they made fun, suffer none of the grief disbelievers go through on that day. They are eternally rewarded with the best of rewards because they spent all their lives sincerely to attain the consent of Allah. Unlike disbelievers, their souls are drawn out gently, without any pain. As is described in the verse, the angels greet the believers and give the good news of the garden. Those the angels take in a virtuous state. They say, "Peace be upon you. Enter the garden for what you did." Surah 16, verse 32. This is another mental torment for the disbelievers. They were also offered the very same opportunities given to the believers in this world. Yet, they willingly traded the eternal blessings of the garden for the short-lived worldly benefits. Pondering upon all these adds to the regret of disbelievers. Furthermore, the fear of knowing that hell is prepared for them will intensify the regret felt by disbelievers. Until then, they have only experienced the suffering of the removal of their souls. This suffering, however, makes them aware of their impending doom. However, it is in the hands of man not to suffer such great regret. Waiting to encounter death is not necessarily the way to have a grasp of the reality of the death and beyond. For believers, the promise of Allah is enough. After death, the justice of Allah certainly prevails. Disbelievers are punished with fire, and believers are rewarded with the gardens of paradise. So, the wisest thing for a person to do who has not met death yet would be to seek refuge in Allah and to hope for His forgiveness. In addition, one needs to attentively explore the Quran, the only guide to the true path for humanity, to attain a thorough understanding of it and live by its commands. Rather than avoidance from the thought of death, man will benefit from pondering over its reality and closeness and acting accordingly. The way to be saved from regret and win eternal bliss is to reflect on death and the hereafter and comply with the way of Allah, the Creator of man. All who have ever lived on earth are resurrected on the Day of Judgment. The moment of resurrection is a perplexing one for disbelievers. The bewildered conversations among disbelievers at the moment of resurrection are related in the Quran as follows. They will say, "Alas for us! Who has raised us from our resting place? This is what the All-Merciful promised us. The messengers were telling the truth." Surah 37, verse 52. The phrase, "Alas for us," is an expression of great panic, fear, and regret of disbelievers. At the moment they are resurrected, they realize that those who warned them against the hereafter were right and truthful. Right now, they will be dragged to this torment which they never considered as real before. There is no way to escape. After rising from the dead, disbelievers will be brought to stand before Allah. Then they will be called to account for what they did in the world, and judgment will be made accordingly. On doomsday, disbelievers will come to understand that no other action is more important than earning the consent of Allah and avoiding His wrath. Their regret is manifest from the way they speak. Their situation is informed in the Quran as follows. The day when a wrongdoer will bite his hands and say, "Alas for me, if only I had gone the way of the messenger. Alas for me, if only I had not taken so-and-so for a friend. He led me astray from the reminder after it came to me." Evil always leaves man in the lurch. Surah 25, verse 27 through 29. Surely, these efforts of disbelievers bring no results. The main target of disbelievers in the worldly life was amassing a fortune, making a career, or having sons. They spent all of their lives to attain these goals. However, on the Day of Judgment, they grasped that all these concepts are not precious at all. Judgment Day is the time when disbelievers will desire to vanish. For believers, however, it is the time zealously and joyfully awaited for. On the Day of Reckoning, the most precious valuables one possesses are the righteous deeds purely done to earn the good pleasure of Allah. However, disbelievers have never striven for this treasure, which would bring them eternal salvation. Not a single good deed or blessing they have to present to Allah on that day. Having no faith in Allah, all their righteous efforts will have been wasted. Those who deny the religion always harbor doubts about the existence of the Day of Judgment. For this reason, they did not feel the necessity to get prepared for this approaching day. For a lifetime, they occupied themselves with amassing wealth and following their vain desires. Now they confront a regret they will never be free of. Furthermore, disbelievers will find all the unscrupulous, ungrateful, and evil deeds that they committed in the world discovered in the presence of Allah. They will personally bear witness to the sins they committed. This is described in the Quran as follows. They will be paraded before your Lord in ranks. "You have come to us just as we created you at first. Yes, indeed, even though you claim that we would not fix a time with you." The book will be set in place, and you will see the evildoers fearful of what is in it. They will say, Alas for us! What is this book which does not pass over any action, small or great, without recording it? They will find there everything they did, and your Lord will not wrong anyone at all. Surah 18, verse 48-49. Witnessing these scenes, disbelievers understand the opportunity that they missed in the world. They feel a most severe regret. Adding to this regret, they see and observe the blissful life of believers in paradise. Because previously they were invited to truth by believers, but they arrogantly refused and turned a deaf ear to them. But now a just balance is set. People are led to hell or paradise based on their records. On the Day of Judgment, disbelievers see where they are heading for. Upon this, fear overtakes them, which is related in the Quran in this way. You will see the wrongdoers, afraid of what they have earned, when it is about to land right on top of them. Surah 42, verse 22. This process is easy for believers. However, it proves to be difficult and very painful for disbelievers. They are questioned for each blessing Allah granted them in the world. They give an account of each moment of their lives, about their failure to comply with the commands of Allah, their ungrateful attitudes, their inner rebellious thoughts and insults, the warnings that they ignored. However, the insincere excuses they used to put forth in the world are no more acceptable. The situation disbelievers confront on that day is described in the verses. On that day, woe to the deniers! This is the day they will not say a single word, nor will they be allowed to offer any excuses. On that day, woe to the deniers! This is the day of decision. We have gathered you and the earlier peoples. So if you have a ploy, use it against me now. On that day, woe to the deniers. Surah 77, verse 34 through 40. These are important to grasp the intensity of the regret disbelievers would experience on the Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment is too late for one to feel regret. If one fully understands what is being told here and loses no time in engaging in good deeds, then he may hope for a heavy balance of good deeds. Only such an endeavor will save one from eternal regret. On the Day of Judgment, once their accounts are taken, people will be gathered and will be driven to hell in divisions. Amongst this crowd will be everyone who denied the religion and existence of Allah throughout history, and those who were arrogant and turned away from the signs of Allah. There will be also those who enjoyed wealth and fame. To their disappointment, however, those things they attached importance to in the world will not save them from eternal punishment. The Quran informs us that all disbelievers will be disgracefully dragged into hell. Before hell's gates, the keepers will make them confess their crimes for a last time and take them in. Upon this, the gates will be closed behind them for all eternity. Not a single person among the crowd can come out and say that he was not warned against this day. Because Allah, who is the just, had sent messengers to every individual to remind him about the existence of Allah, the Day of Judgment, Paradise, and Hell. Therefore, disbelievers will acknowledge that they deserve the torment in hell. They remained arrogant, though they were warned, and knowingly avoided to serve Allah, the one who created them. Allah informs man that such people will be humiliated in hell. Your Lord says, Call on me and I will answer you. Those who are too proud to worship me will enter hell abject. Surah 40, verse 60. In response to their rebellion, they will be taken in through hell's gates and never again allowed out. The moment they see the fire, they will feel an unbearable regret for their wrongs. Everything disbelievers feigned ignorance about in the world will appear to them very clear then. They will most realize that they consumed all their lives for vain purposes, and they will ultimately understand that, in exchange for minor and temporary benefits, they must now remain in torment for all eternity. The few decades they had in the world seemed a long period of time to them, and meanwhile they never thought about the hereafter. Rather than a perfect and blissful life, where one is not vulnerable to physical weaknesses such as hunger and exhaustion, they preferred this world, where one finds himself incurably dissatisfied. No sooner they entered by hell's gates than they comprehend that they have no escape. Thus, as a last recourse to avoid torment, they seek salvation by offering a ransom of everything they possess in this world. These vain efforts are described in the Quran in this way: "As for those who do not respond to him, even if they owned everything on the earth and the same again with it, they would offer it as a ransom. They will receive an evil reckoning. Their shelter will be hell. What an evil resting place." Surah 13, verse 18. However, these last efforts displayed upon facing the fact of entering hell will be in vain. Allah informs us that these attempts bring no benefit. So today no ransom will be accepted from you or from those who were disbelievers. Your refuge is the fire. It is your master. What an evil destination. Surah 57, verse 15. There is certainly an important reason why these attempts bring no results. Allah warned them against hell when they were still in the world. Everything was made clear to them, that no man will be able to help another and that no one will be able to offer any ransom. They were further reminded that no ransom will be accepted. Yet, in spite of all the warnings, they insisted on their denial and they knowingly prepared such an end for themselves. On that day, they will acknowledge one important fact, that their own deeds earned them hell. This regret will be a great torment they will find no salvation from eternally. That is because they encountered one important fact. Had they devoted themselves to earning the favor of Allah instead of striving for vain goals, they would not be at the entrance to hell, but to paradise. Due to their failure to comply with the right way, they meet eternal loss. Disbelievers confront very severe physical torments in hell. In addition, there is another torment, one which will always remain with disbelievers. This is the feeling of regret. One would never be able to forget for a moment. This feeling will even more deepen with the distress caused by the fact that one would forever remain in hell. Every moment disbelievers experience the suffering, they will remember that, had they complied with the right way, none of these would befall them. There is no way to avoid from this regret. Having an experience of the severity of the punishment, disbelievers will be seized by the regret of not having faith in Allah while they were still in the world. Yet this regret will not alter the situation. In the world, they were offered many opportunities which they failed to take. Once they attain comprehension of this fact, they will lament with everyone and everything which distracted them from Allah and the hereafter and made them indulge in worldly affairs. They are full of rage against them. However, Allah granted a conscience to everyone so that he could be guided to the right path. Allah also endowed man with a will to carry out his pertinent decisions. Besides, Allah knows whether one keeps faith or denial deep in his heart. Accordingly, those leading people to hell, as well as those adhering to them, will be justly punished. That day, nobody will bear responsibility for the sins of another. While these people tempted one another into committing sins, it probably many times occurred to their minds that they would give an account of them in the hereafter, yet they attach no importance to it, as if it was an insignificant issue. They encouraged one another in denial of Allah, saying, "I will bear responsibility for what you do." Satan, on the other hand, made tempting promises to them and misled them in the wrong way. But Allah, with the verse, "And he will come to us all alone," Surah 19, verse 80, informs us that these promises will be of no help. That day, disbelievers will clearly see that they are all alone. They will understand one important fact themselves. Other than Allah, man has neither a friend nor a protector. In hell, their mentors and anybody they considered to be their friends in the world will leave them all alone. Likewise, Satan, whom, forsaking Allah, they took as their protector, will be unfaithful to them and addressed to them in the following way. When the affair is decided, Satan will say, "Allah made you a promise of truth, and I made you a promise but broke my promise. I had no authority over you, except that I called you and you responded to me. Do not therefore blame me, but blame yourselves. I cannot come to your aid, nor you to mine. I reject the way you associated me with Allah before. The wrongdoers will have a painful punishment." Surah 14, verse 22. Seeing the unfaithfulness of everyone they considered as friends will be another source of regret for disbelievers. Then do they clearly understand that there is no one they can take refuge in other than Allah. Yet, seeing that this comprehension provides no relief for them, will add to their troubles. On that day, they will quarrel with one another. Meanwhile, they confess their sins. Arguing in it with one another, they will say, "By Allah, we were plainly misguided when we equated you with the Lord of all the worlds. It was only the evildoers who misguided us, and now we have no one to intercede for us. We do not have a single loyal friend. If only we could have another chance, then we would be among the believers." Surah 26, verse 96-102. As related in the verses, in a deep regret, disbelievers wish to return to the world so that they can engage in good deeds which would bring goodness to them in the hereafter. Yet, this is an unacceptable wish. Today, they realize that anything, wealth, beauty, and career that they chased after in the world is worthless in the hereafter. Some of their regretful expressions are stated in the Quran as follows. "But as for him who is given his book in his left hand, he will say, 'If only I had not been given my book and had not known about my reckoning. If only death had really been the end. My wealth has been of no use to me. My power has vanished. Seize him and truss him up, then roast him in the blazing fire. Then bind him in a chain which is 70 cubits long.' He used not to have faith in Allah the Magnificent, nor did he urge the feeding of the poor. Therefore, here today he has no friend." Surah 69, verse 25-35. In addition, witnessing the great joy and happiness of the companions of the garden deepens the regret of disbelievers. They see the conspicuous difference between the lives of the companions of the garden and that of themselves. Allah draws attention to the difference of the companions of the garden and of the fire. The appearance of the companions of the fire is depicted in the Quran in this way. Their eyes will be downcast, darkened by debasement. Surah 68, verse 43. In Surah 75, verse 24, it is stated that their faces will be glowering. On the other hand, the faces of the companions of the garden are described as follows. That day, some faces will be radiant, laughing, rejoicing. Surah 80, verse 38 to 39. Disbelievers will not find any food other than boiling water, pus, bitter thorn, and the tree of Zakun. Believers, on the other hand, will be rewarded with rivers of milk and honey, delicious drinks served in cups, all kinds of fruits, and anything their souls desire. In a verse, the food of the companions of the garden is described as follows. An image of the garden which is promised to those who have fear. In it there are rivers of water which will never spoil, and rivers of milk whose taste will never change, and rivers of wine, delightful to all who drink it, and rivers of honey of undiluted purity. In it they will have fruit of every kind and forgiveness from their Lord. Is that like those who will be in the fire timelessly, forever, with boiling water to drink, which lacerates their bowels? Surah 47, verse 15. Likewise, Allah will present the companions of the garden green garments of fine silk and rich brocade and bracelets of gold and silver. Meanwhile, the companions of the fire will have garments of tar and fire cut out for them. The believers will dwell in fine dwellings and lofty chambers, reclining on sumptuous woven couches, exquisite rugs, and couches lined with rich brocade. Disbelievers, on the other hand, will have hell as a resting place and covering layers on top of them. Had disbelievers assumed a conscientious, sincere, and honest attitude in the world and complied with the commands of Allah, they would not now be subject to torment in hell. Thus, disbelievers will feel more regret when they think about the companions of the garden. Allah defines this torment in hell and the regret they feel as suffering, and states that each one of their attempts to escape from this suffering will result in yet another punishment. Every time they want to come out of it, because of their suffering, they will be driven back into it. Taste the punishment of the burning. Surah 22, verse 22. That is because hell is a place of no return. It is the place where the feeling of regret brings no benefit to man. In Surah Araf, verse 40, Allah describes the impossibility of disbelievers leaving hell and entering the garden, saying that they will not enter the garden until a camel goes through a needle's eye. Furthermore, Allah informs that disbelievers will be disregarded and forgotten, since, in the world, they turned away from the right way and ignored their meeting the Day of Judgment. They will not receive any answer or help from Allah. This is stated in Surah Taha, verse 126. He will say, "Just as our signs came to you and you forgot them, in the same way you too are forgotten today." They will implore Allah to be saved from the fire, and Allah will answer them in the following way. He will say, "Slink away into it and do not speak to me." Surah 23, verse 108. Disbelievers will receive an eternal punishment. This punishment will be remaining all alone in torment and not receiving any help. Allah will not bestow His mercy on them, will not protect them, and will not forgive their sins and faults. If they had taken refuge in Allah when they were alive, they would have found Allah to be forever forgiving and most merciful towards them. Yet, once they enter hell, these facts occurring to their minds will no longer be of any help. After all that has been said, one has to ponder over certain facts right now. That Allah is full of mercy and compassion towards His servants. One who ponders over this takes Allah alone, one's friend and protector. For once the gates of hell are closed behind one, they will never open again, and there will be no more opportunities granted as in this world. The Quran describes the way for salvation as follows. Except those who repent and put things right, and hold fast to Allah, and dedicate their religion to Allah alone, they are with the believers. Allah will give the believers an immense reward. Why should Allah punish you if you are thankful and have faith? Allah is all thankful, all knowing. Surah 4, verse 146 to 147. People are created with many weaknesses and imperfections. Throughout our lives, we forget many things and make countless mistakes. However, through repentance, which is a great favor granted to us by Allah, it is always possible in this world to correct our mistakes. Indeed, the world is created just for this purpose. We are trained, put to test, and purified of our mistakes in this world. It is likely that we may deeply regret our mistakes or the way we have led our lives. However, it is always possible to make up for this regret. After having lived through this regret, we can ask for repentance and hope for Allah's forgiveness. In the Quran, Allah gives the glad tidings that He will forgive any sin, provided one repents sincerely. Allah knows our inner thoughts and every word we keep to ourselves. He knows whether we are true to Him or not. Likewise, Allah, in the Quran, describes His closeness to His servants, saying, "Your Lord knows best what is in yourselves. If you are righteous, He is ever forgiving to the remorseful." Surah 17, verse 25. Yet another important fact surfaces here. After death, it is not possible to make up for the mistakes and sins committed in this world. So not a single moment do we have to lose. Minutes pass by in a blink of the eye, and with every moment passing, we draw even closer to death. Furthermore, we can never foresee when death will confront us. Its date, hour, and minute can never be known. We all will certainly die one day and will give an account of our deeds in the presence of Allah. For this reason, man must always bear in mind that he may soon die. If he is not to regret in the hereafter, he must reconsider his life. If it were the time to meet the angels of death right now, would you be able to give an account of all the years you have spent in this world? What have you done so far to earn the consent of Allah? Have you been meticulous enough in fulfilling Allah's commands? A person may not have an affirmative answer to any of these questions. But if he repents and sincerely makes an absolute commitment to live to earn the good pleasure of Allah, then he can hope for Allah's forgiveness. We must take refuge in Allah, who is the forgiver, the forbearing one, and the acceptor of repentance. Allah will absolutely give the rewards of those who persevere and often turn to Him. He will certainly forgive His servants who have faith and reward their good deeds according to the best of what they did. In one verse, this great glad tiding is stated as follows. What is with you runs out, but what is with Allah goes on forever. Those who were steadfast will be recompensed according to the best of what they did. Anyone who acts rightly, male or female, being a believer, we will give them a good life, and we will recompense them according to the best of what they did. Surah 16, verse 96 to 97. Never forget that at any time, any one of us might be caught by death. And, though being full of regret, might not have again the opportunity to correct the wrongs we committed in the worldly life. For this reason, we should lose no time in asking for repentance from Allah and living by His commands. This is the only way to be a servant upon whom Allah bestows His mercy and love. This is again the only way to attain paradise, the eternal abode Allah prepares for His true believers. This program is based on the book Before You Regret by Harun Yahya.